to imagine just what if athletics, if sports really mattered. You know, think about the conflicts that happen in the context of sports. You know, that wasn't offsides. You know, why didn't you make that call? Why did you make that call? That was pass interference. That wasn't pass interference. And even, you know, you think about those plays where they go to the replay booth and analyze it, you know, right in time in terms of what happens. And again, the conflict that comes up, I disagree, and I think this, and I think that. But then a few days later, it doesn't matter, right? In other words, you're not really stirred up about it after that. But then think about the conflict that happens about life, and all of a sudden now things matter. Think about how cell phones almost give us instant replay over events that happen in our world. And all of a sudden now, people are interpreting that. No, they said this. No, they did that. You know, and now, again, what conflict comes up in the context of that? You have to realize that the more that you're exposed to, the more information you're exposed to, the more opportunity you have to have an idea, to reflect that idea, to talk about that idea, and expose that idea to conflict, the more conflict you'll have. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be informed. I'm not saying that. But I think there's an aspect of being presented by all these things that are conflictual in nature, and what heart do we have to negotiate through that? And I think there's an aspect of society just revving us up in terms of the conflicted nature that we have inside us about what we agree or disagree with about what's happening in our world. You know, policies that are extreme in nature, and now they're extreme news programs that vilify the other side and promote the absolute rightness of one side. And again, all this conflict that happens in our life. You know, the other thought I had is just imagine that you had a video in your home. And therefore, your actions are being evaluated by people outside of the home. Just imagine officiants outside your door. 5 yards for unkind word. That's lying. 20-yard penalty. And yet we don't have that, right? And we recognize, well, we don't have that in the world, but realistically, in Christ we do. Like, there's an aspect of God being that replay booth. You know, being that person that we can go to and say, why did I say that? What was going on there? What was in my heart when I was going through that or talking or conversing around that? And so I think it's in the context of all that in terms of the conflict that swirls around the world, swirls in our head, swirls on Facebook and social media, and now in the context of that, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that come in and in the presence of conflict, address that conflict and try to bring something about that would be about peace, that would be about reconciliation, that would be about harmony. And what I can tell you is I don't care how old you are, this is applicable to you. Like if you're a sixth grader, you're an eighth grader, and you're dealing with friends, you're dealing with relationships, you're dealing with activities and events, there's going to be conflict. You express an opinion about a certain aspect of life or likes or dislikes, and now all of a sudden there's conflicts, you know, a political opinion, a theological opinion, whatever it might be. And again, now in the context of that conflict, what do you do in terms of just being a peacemaker, trying to promote the things that would generate peace that aren't consistent with lying, aren't consistent with deception, but consistent with the knowledge of God and the truth of God, which, again, part of the harmony we would have would be around recognizing that God is the source of truth and all our lives should be oriented to Him. Again, so again, conflict, as I saw last week, is an inherent part of human interaction. We have different personalities, different opinions, perspectives, interpretations of events, expectations, different backgrounds, feelings, theological positions, likes and dislikes. Again, we saw last week, it's a wonder that anyone gets along. But it's in that context that Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, peacemakers, I think, first and foremost, are all the other beatitudes. Like, before we talk about how we engage in conflict, how we deal with other people, how we deal with conversation, it starts with who are we in terms of ourselves? Like, am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Am I mournful over the things that I should be mournful about in terms of my own self and the humility that would be promoted by that? Am I hungering and thirsting for righteousness? You know, so much in terms of conflict is, what are we being conflictual about? Is it that important? Like, is it about truth? Is it about God's intent? Is it about God's glory? Are we talking about personal preference? Are we talking about something that's really important? You know, going to, again, sports really don't matter, I guess, unless you're betting on them. But again, your team loses, okay, it's hard to see. But hey, you live. Your life isn't based on that, hopefully. But now all of a sudden, when you bring things in where your life does matter, or you make it matter in terms of, again, the priority that you place on things is something that, again, when you have all the other beatitudes, you're rightly related to the things of God, you're rightly related to yourself, you're rightly related to other people. And so again, that is the first aspect of a peacemaker, is all the other beatitudes. I think peacemakers also seek to build people up according to the truth and are not people of strife. So you have to understand that an aspect of you being a peacemaker in terms of speaking into other people's lives, if that person is defended against you, you're not going to be able to make peace with them. In other words, if you have been critical of someone, belittling someone, negative towards someone, that basically they're guarded against you. So now you come and you're trying to promote peace to them when you haven't really regarded them, you haven't valued their opinion or valued their person. You know, and that's also where I say that if you don't recognize the value that's on you, like if you don't recognize that God loves you incredibly, that God is empowering you, is merciful towards you, is gracious towards you, like you can only project to other people what you have towards yourself in terms of your understanding of God. But again, peacemakers build people up. They affirm people to the extent that it's true. So again, as you're engaging with something that might be conflictual or negative, you've built up a positive environment in terms of dealing with that thing. You know, I would always encourage people, if you're in conflict with someone that you have regular relationship with, you know, particularly if it's within a family, sometimes it's important to sit back and say, let's talk about all the things we like about each other. Let's talk about all the things we agree on. Let's talk about all the things that God has done with us, through us, for us, in terms of just the goodness that's in our life. And then see how the conflict kind of becomes secondary. Like, in other words, to sit down and say that I love this person that's across the table. We've been through all these things together. We've, you know, again, we've worked through hard things. We've parented children, whatever it might be. Now, all of a sudden, this thing that seems so important becomes secondary. But again, it's about a value, the whole point being, it's creating this positive environment where, again, we're not bringing negative aspects of feeling or strife into the conflict. Like the conflict itself is strifeful enough, and so therefore we don't bring what we have in our person or what we've created in another person into that. And again, peacemakers are not people of strife. Like there are people that are just conflictual in their nature. Like there are people that are just argumentative and just critical in terms of just what they might say or what they might do. And you know, that's not a peacemaker. You know, something you have to think about is, again, why are you that way in terms of always having strife with people? Again, I don't think the majority of people are that way, but you just have to look at that yourself in terms of, boy, am I always looking at the negative? Am I almost always critical of people? Am I always having arguments with people? Am I always looking for the next argument in terms of what I'm thinking and what I'm doing? And again, that is not being a peacemaker in what Jesus is asking. And God's favor is on those that, again, promote peace, promote peacemaking. So again, they seek to build up others according to the truth. Again, we're not flattering people. This isn't about saying good things that aren't true. But to the extent that we can say true things that build someone up in their spirit. So now as we're dealing with the conflict again, they recognize that what you're saying is coming from a heart that is about care. It's about, I appreciate who you are, and I appreciate what you've done. Again, so to the extent that we can build people up, I think that's an important part of peacemaking, and so people are not guarded against us. As we saw last week and kind of danced on it, peacemakers are also quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Again, that's James 1:19. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the only thing I would ask, after I mentioned that last week, did you do it? Do you do this? Are you one that consciously, particularly as you're dealing with conflict, think to yourself, I need to be quick to listen, I need to be slow to speak, and I need to be slow to become angry in terms of how I'm internalizing what the other person says? I think peacemakers also see the logs in their eye. You know, when Jesus says, don't, you know, when you're looking, you know, when you're trying to address another person, you know, it is human nature to think that what the other person has done is worse than what you've done. It's such a natural thing, like, how could they do that? How could they say that? How could they react in that way? Well, what about you? And what Jesus encourages us to do in the context of conflict, in the context of addressing another person, is let me think about more about what I have contributed. What have I done? What could I have done better in the context of what I'm doing? So again, assessing logs and specks of dust in terms of as much as I can think about what I've done wrong, that's what I think in terms of, rather than, again, blaming the other person and criticizing the other person, putting too much on them than I put on myself. I think they also seek to understand more than they need to be understood. I did say that last week, but I would conclude in the context of that, is do you talk like you want to have a conversation, or do you talk like you already know what's right, and so therefore there's no place for anyone to disagree with you? And so therefore, peacemakers engage in conflict with the desire to have a conversation, to have input from other people. And there are things we can say and not say that either promote conversation or shut it down. And sometimes that is in our attitude. Sometimes that is in our affect. Sometimes that is in our presentation about, I have my opinion. I really don't care what your opinion is. But making it clear that when you're engaging in let's have a conversation. You know, I think in some ways, we just don't give enough time and space for conversation. You know, think about that in terms of, you know, think about a discussion you need to have, an issue you have to resolve, and how much time you would commit to that. You know, oftentimes what I find is we're dealing with hard things on the fly. Okay, I've got you on the phone, let me talk about these things, then I'm off doing this. And okay, we got to talk about this thing, and so I'm, you know, heading out to this thing, and so let's talk about this in the 5 minutes we have to deal with it. Now all of a sudden things blow up, and things don't work well, and now two people are walking out from the conversation or the text or whatever, and now they're upset. And now, outside of the conversation, you know, the person, I'm stirred up in terms of what I'm thinking and how I'm processing the events. And so sometimes what is important in terms of, you know, wanting to have a conversation is having time to have the conversation. And let's get to it. Let's dedicate time where the TV's off, the cell phones are shut off, and let's talk. And just think about the priority that God would have on that. Like, I would say, besides the worship of God and regarding Him, ultimately important. Like, everything is secondary to that in terms of, again, working through conflict, working through the conversations we need to have, where now my opinion is expressed, your opinion is expressed, and then we figure out, what does God think about this? What does sound reasoning have to think about this? Again, but do you talk like you want to have a conversation? you know, oftentimes if you, again, peacemakers do. Peacemakers talk like they want to have a conversation. I would say peacemakers don't have strong opinions when it comes to personal preferences or their perspective, finding compromise or giving in whenever possible. And so again, when you think about having strong opinions about unnecessary things, again, you, like going back to the sports analogy, you know, you have strong opinions about the call that was made or the call that wasn't made, or that ball hit the ground before he caught it. And like you might have a strong opinion about that. Well, again, you shouldn't have a strong opinion. Like you may have an opinion about, but it really doesn't matter. And so therefore, when we think about the strong opinions we have on things to evaluate, is this about personal preference? Or is this about the perspective I have on some aspect of life or even on the truth of God? So like for us to have a strong opinion about truth, like we don't want something inconsistent with the Word of God. So for us to be passionate about truth, passionate about what we're presenting and living in and promoting to other people, to be about the truth of God, that matters. But now what the color of the carpet is, you know, where I think we should go on vacation, the various things that we argue about, that we again have strong opinions on, again, if it's personal preference, don't let that happen. Don't get revved up on something that is secondary in nature. Again, even when it is your, well, I saw it this way, or you saw it that way. Well, you know, that's a hard thing to figure out in terms of how you dice that out in terms of conversation. But I think you have to do that. Like, you have to get to, do we agree on just what happened? And then do we agree on how we're interpreting that thing from what happened? You know, you think about all the areas that people can have conflict over. Again, we have to watch the strong opinions that we have and what those strong opinions are over. Again, if a peacemaker always finds a way to compromise if there's a way to compromise. A peacemaker always gives in. Again, I'm not surrendering or myself. I'm not surrendering truth. You know, we'll just do what we'll do what you want. And so, again, I just think in the context of any relationship where someone is doing that more often than the other, you know, then you can address that. But again, peacemakers seek that out. I mean, isn't the greatest barrier to peacemaking our need to advance our opinion or our rights? I mean, isn't that where conflict stands? Isn't that where the heart of engagement and personal relationship is? That, again, I have this opinion. I have this right. I have to defend what I want. I mean, it's the very nature of disagreement. Disagreeing on what is true or what happened or why it happened and what should happen. Just realize the distinction that's there. You know, when you're having a conversation about what actually happened, again, you have to parse that out. Sometimes you can have conflict about just what happened or why it happened. Well, you did this because of this. You know, you have to watch out for assessing motivation. But isn't that oftentimes a part of what the conflict is? And you know what I'm saying? Don't have strong opinions about what you can't verify. Don't have strong opinions about what God hasn't spoken to directly. You don't have strong opinions about what the Word wouldn't lead you to. When you think about why am I passionate about this thing and what is it that I'm passionate about and how can I actually realize what truth is in the context of what I'm talking about? And now if I can't think that, well, I shouldn't have a strong opinion. Like, just think about, again, the conflict that happens in our nature about events that happen. They did this, they did that, that's why they did it. Again, then the news programs report on it, and this person puts on Facebook, this is so evil, and blah, blah, blah. And then another news station says, this is so right, and blah, blah, blah. And then we have conflict in our lives over that, and we can't even decide on what happened, or why it happened, or how it happened. And so we have to recognize the challenge that exists there. And again, the challenge of now peace. See, I think what the peacemaker does is I don't have a strong opinion. I don't have a strong opinion about what I don't know personally or I can't validate personally. And again, to what extent God speaks of. Like think about the priorities that God would have in the context of events. Again, honesty, justice, purity, righteousness. You know, like the things that matter. You know, when it comes to different things that people can have conflict over, in assessing what happened can get dicey. In terms of, again, what did the person say? What did the person do? What actually did happen? But don't have strong opinion. Don't divide yourself between people because you can't agree on what happened. Because that's just, if you're not there and you're not hearing what's happening, or you're not seeing the person's heart, and you can never see the person's heart. But again, why have a strong opinion about that? Why divide over something that, again, God knows, and God can resolve, and vengeance is His. And so that's part of what, again, let me not speak into things that I don't know about or have strong opinions about things that, again, I just don't know, but God does know. And again, He is the one that I trust for that. Go back. So what is true, what happened, why it happened, or what should happen? Again, when we think about how we're processing information, and I do realize that I am trying to deal with things that are naturally applicable and things that you are dealing with in your hearts, but some of that has to do with things that are maybe national or political in nature and the conflict that comes into that, that then can divide people in relationship, in life, and in the real world. And I'm also trying to speak to, again, what's a marriage like? What's parenting like? What's it like to be a child to a parent, be a parent to a child? And so I get that I'm trying to take this whole peacemaking thing and think about how what Jesus speaks into our lives in terms of blessed are the peacemakers. Again, they manage those things according to truth. But we have to recognize that sometimes we don't know what happened. Sometimes we don't know why it happened. And then in terms of what should happen, just realize that's another, like now when you think about that more personally in nature, like now you're sitting down with your husband, your husband or your wife, and you think about, okay, what happened? Why did it happen? And now what should happen? That's what the conversation is all about. And so again, to the best that we can do in terms of assessing what God would want, assessing the principles that are in the Word, but then again, if we're talking about personal preference, not having a strong opinion when it comes to the Word of God, but when it comes to our perspective or our personal preference, not having a strong opinion, and again, I think that leads to peacemaking. Peacemakers also find areas of agreement if they can be found. We may disagree on how something happened, but maybe we agree on the what. We may disagree on what is happening now, but can agree on an ultimate goal. And what I mean by that is, we may disagree on, like, okay, we want to raise our children in godliness. Okay, that's the orientation that people would have as parents as far as what you would do. Now, how do we do that? Like, you might have a conflict, you might have a disagreement about how you do it, but if you agree on the ultimate goal, recognize that place of agreement. You're spending too much money. You shouldn't spend too much money. Like, do we agree that if we spend too much money, we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage and we're going to lose the house? Like what I'm saying is that you may be having a conversation about how things are happening and why things might be bad, but can we recognize that in the end, we can't go that far? So what I'm saying is find some place of agreement in terms of what the ultimate goal, like if we continue along this path, what's going to happen? So we can agree that. Like we don't want kids like this, right? Now we might disagree on how we get there, but recognize we're trying to work towards the same end. And that's what I'm talking about. Peacemakers, try to find that place of agreement. Again, it might not be how, again, we might disagree on how, but we can agree on what. We may disagree on what's happening now, but we can't agree on the ultimate goal. What are we heading towards? What are we trying to accomplish? And again, finding that place of agreement. So now that agreement in one area hopefully will really condition your heart about what we're trying to work toward the same thing. Like you think about a corporate environment. Like we're all trying to make money. We're all trying to increase the bottom line. Okay, this is your idea, this is my idea. But we're still trying to get to the same thing. And so therefore, we can agree on that. So now, how do we best understand each other's approach and how we get there? So again, peacemakers find areas of agreement if they can be found. Again, and in terms of those things. I mean, peacemakers don't force or overpower people to get them to agree or name call or criticize or belittle, but try to convince them of the truth based on God's word or sound reasoning. Again, like when you ramp yourself up, when you get angry over what you believe, you're trying to control the dynamic by how loud you're speaking, how angry you're getting. I think that's why the Bible says, be slow to get angry. Like God knows that when you're in conflict and now all of a sudden something matters to you and you're getting passionate about that thing, be slow to get angry. Because again, when you get angry, now all of a sudden you're starting to say something that really has no substance to having a conversation or resolving the issue or talking about something that's substantive in the context of that. And so again, we have to recognize that. Again, you don't overpower people. That's not what peacemakers are. Peacemakers are, again, your opinion is as valid as my opinion. And so now, what do we do to try to find some resolution to this? But valuing each other first and foremost in your person, but then valuing each other in terms of the opinion that you have. And at any point that's threatened, where I feel the person I'm talking to doesn't value me as a person, or they don't value my opinion, they don't really want to listen to me, that is not peacemaking. You are not going to be a peacemaker if you act that way. And again, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those that think of others more than themselves, regard people as more than they regard themselves in terms of what opinion they have. Again, the more it can be connected to God's word, the more it can be connected to what God has said. You know, the Bible says a lot. And the Bible says a lot, both in standard, principle, and in power and conviction. Like, I know there's thing, you know, the Bible talks about do this, don't do this. This is right, this is wrong. It talks about in principle in terms of, again, be kind, be understanding, be just, be fair, be generous, be humble. Again, the principles that it has. But then it points to all the things that God is and does that allows us to be what God would desire for us to be. Again, at the backdrop of every conversation in terms of how important it is and what value you placed on it is the fact that God has got your back. That ultimately you don't need anything from any situation to define you for who you are, or in terms of what you would even desire in promoting your rights or promoting your opinion, that is about you. Because God has got you. God loves you. God cares for you. God knows you. God is available to you. God is promoting good for you in terms of your whole being and even in your life. And so therefore, now, what do I need from a human being? How right do I need to be? How much do I need to win the argument or again, resolve the conflict to my benefit? You should more be thinking, how can I resolve this conflict where God is glorified? And sometimes God is more glorified by how you manage yourself in the conflict than the resolution that happens. I guarantee that. He cares more about how kind you're being, how honest you're being, how fair you're being, how humble you're being, than winning? Even convincing? No. It's how you're acting towards him. And that's the heart of the peacemaker. That I care what God thinks about my heart and my actions and my speech in the context of what I'm saying, as opposed to I'm getting what I want done. But again, never forcing or overpowering people, particularly not name-calling or criticizing or belittling people. Never. Again, don't, how can you expect someone that has been disregarded to all of a sudden be in a place to make peace with you? In Christ, I think, of course it's possible. Someone who's a believer that you do that to, they should be affirmed. I'm Jesus's. I'm good. I'm loved. I'm valuable. Doesn't matter. So they really should, but you're creating a barrier to that. Again, husbands that have mistreated their wives and all of a sudden, oh, but she doesn't want to spend time with me. Duh. What are you thinking? Particularly, do you know that she's a woman and she cares about what you think about her? She doesn't care, she cares more about how you regard her person, not what she's accomplished. Not that that's wrong to validate, yay, good woman, you did this thing. But you're special, you're valuable, I love you, you're important. Those are the things that, again, now you engage in a conflict where that woman knows that you love her, and now, okay, we got to talk about this thing, honey. Do you see how that conflict is going to go better? Again, that's the foundation of peacemaking that oftentimes is missed in terms of what we do. Again, so blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons. Peacemakers also understand, peacemakers also understand that most decisions can wait and be prayed over or seek others' counsel. That's another aspect of peacemaking. Again, when I'm having a conversation, see, when you're the one that's convinced of what you're right, you are already there in the position that you're in. You now bring that to someone else that hasn't thought about it, hasn't thought about what they think or what they want in the context of that, and you just bring it to them and expect that they're going to be in the same place that you were in. Now, if that happens, hey, let's go to Mexico in June. Hey, I was thinking about going to Mexico in June. Let's go to Mexico. I didn't want to go to Mexico. I wanted to go to France, or I wanted to go, you've thought about Mexico, and you're planning about Mexico. You're learning dances or wearing hats or, and now all of a sudden, going for something safe here. That's all I'm doing. But you see how, you know what you want. You bring something to someone else. So to think that there's time, boy, honey, I'm not ready to agree with this. I'm not on the same page as you. Can we wait? Can we think about this for a few days? Can we seek God in counsel? Can we evaluate this according to the word? Can we have God search your hearts? And then can we talk about it later? Peacemakers recognize that very often things don't need to be resolved in the moment. But we pressurize a moment in terms of, but I need to have clarity. I want to know what we're going to do. I want to do the thing, and I want my rights and my desires fulfilled. No, not if the other person that you desire to be in relationship with. Again, they understand it can wait, it can be prayed over, you can seek others' counsel in the context of that. But peacemakers jump in and seek to resolve conflict rather than avoiding it. They also follow biblical steps in addressing it. But we have communion today, and so we'll have to stop there. But you know, sometimes the challenge of being a pastor is how much do I emphasize something? How much time do I spend that I could do Blessed Are the Peacemakers in 3 minutes if I wanted to do Blessed Are the Peacemakers? But there is so much conflict in our lives. The world is priming the conflict in terms of all the things that we're presented with. And then as we engage with that in the things of the world and then now come into our hearts about now I'm going to engage in conflict here, we have to make sure that that stuff in the world is secondary. Like whoa, I can't be primed up in terms of conflict here because I'm thinking about that. What matters is what's the nature of my relationship with my husband or wife? Well, what kind of parent am I being? What kind of child am I being towards my parents? And that's what matters. But then to realize that, by definition, conflict is going to happen there. And I think we, more often than not, are not good at managing conflict. And so we have to recognize that, and we need to recognize the procedures and principles that God would have in the context of resolving those things. So anyways, that's why I've chosen to spend a little more time on peacemaking here. But let's bow and let's pray and prepare ourselves for communion in terms of all that Jesus establishes in our lives that allows us to be peacemakers and poor in spirit and all the things that the Bible points us to. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the things he declares into our lives that define us and define the kind of people that we would be. Father, we need your power. We need your conviction in terms of how you would guide us in these things, how we would be peacemakers in every facet of our lives. And walk the line that you desire for us to walk. I do pray more for our personal relationships and how we would engage as husbands and wives and being peacemakers. But Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to recognize Jesus, to express our faith in what he accomplished on the cross. Recognizing as his body was broken, as his blood was spilt, it was all a picture of the sacrifice that he was making on our behalf. And it was a necessary part of us having you in our lives to be able to turn to you and read your word and desire to be what you want us to be because you're empowering us to be that very thing. And so, Father, I just ask you to sanctify this time, bless this time of honoring Jesus and remembering him for all he is and for all he did. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.
As I was getting ready for communion and thinking about how